Since the signing of the Declaration of Independence, the country had compromised on the issue of slavery.
When the country expanded westward, so did our compromises.
The first major compromise was the Northwest Ordinance of 1787, which defined the process by which the Ohio territories would become states. One of the provisions in the Northwest Ordinance was the prohibition of slavery.
In 1820, the Missouri Compromise further delineated a balance between the North and the South.
It called for the admission as free states all land within the Louisiana Purchase, north of the line 36 degrees 30 minutes.
Territory south of this line would be admitted as slave states.
The Compromise of 1850 admitted California as a free state and allowed for the newly organized territories of New Mexico and Utah to decide the slavery issue by popular sovereignty, that is, by the votes of those living in the territories.
The Kansas-Nebraska Act of 1854 allowed popular sovereignty to determine whether Kansas and Nebraska would be admitted as free or slave states. This redefined the Missouri Compromise because both of these states are north of the 36-degree line.
In 1856, a mini-civil war raged in the Kansas Territory between pro- and anti-slavery forces.
This christened the region Bleeding Kansas.
On March 6, 1857, the United States Supreme Court attempted to provide the ultimate solution to slavery in the territories.
With this case, the Supreme Court also definitively decided the fate of one man and his entire race.
There is little known about this man. He was very dark-skinned and was slight of frame.
He was married for over 20 years and had four children, two sons who died in infancy and two daughters.
He could not read or write and signed his name on all legal documents with a mark. He was a slave. And his name was Dred Scott.
In 1834, Scott was taken by his owner, an army surgeon by the name of Dr. John Emerson, from St. Louis, Missouri to Rock Island, Illinois.
Slavery was prohibited in Illinois by the Ordinance of 1787.
In 1836, Scott followed Emerson to Fort Snelling in the Wisconsin Territory.
Here, slavery was prohibited by the Missouri Compromise.
Emerson died in 1846, and Dred Scott soon sued for his freedom, claiming that he had become free by living in both a free state and a free territory.
For the next 11 years, a legal battle raged between Scott and the executor of the Emerson estate, John F.A. Sanford. Eventually, the case reached the United States Supreme Court.
Soon, news of the court's decision was dispatched to newspapers across the country via magnetic telegraph.
The opinion of the Supreme Court in the Dred Scott case was delivered by Chief Justice Taney. It is a full and elaborate statement of the views of the court. They have decided the following all-important points. First, Negroes, whether slaves or free, that is, men of the African race, are not citizens of the United States by the Constitution. Second, the Ordinance of 1787 had no independent constitutional force or legal effect subsequent to the adoption of the Constitution and could not operate of itself to confer freedom or citizenship within the Northwest Territory on Negroes, not citizens by the Constitution. Third, the provision of the Act of 1820, commonly called the Missouri Compromise, insofar as it undertook to exclude Negro slavery from and communicate freedom and citizenship to Negroes in the northern part of the Louisiana Cession, was a legislative act exceeding the powers of Congress and void and of no legal effect to that end.